Now, today I want to share a little bit more about the heart and the mouth connection. And to look at this, we know in the scriptures we had touched on this in some past lessons, and those are available. You can go back through Facebook, or you can go back online. You can go through our website and download those messages, and it would do you good to meditate upon them. But the scripture talks about the seed time and harvest. The law, the kingdom of God operates on the law or the principle of sowing and reaping. And so we talked about that the law of Genesis, and we can see from the scriptures that everything produces after its own kind. So the seed to produce is within the seed. So the potential or the seed to produce a harvest and more seeds is within the seed. So you can see that this is the way the kingdom of God works. So in Mark, and we had looked at this scripture in past lessons, but I want to look at this again this morning. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 through 29, it says, Jesus speaking, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For, verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Verse 29, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And I had mentioned in the past lesson that when we see in verse 28, when it says, "The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear," we're talking about a process. The seed has to be planted, then it has to be watered, and all the ingredients have to be there, the sunshine and so forth. But then it says what? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So there's a process in the harvest, I guess we could say. But if you look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, it talks about the seed being sown. And what we had shared in the last lessons is that the soil or the ground or the earth that the seed is planted in, from the scriptures we can see that it's really talking about the heart of man. And this is borne out here. In verse 5, it says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." Now, we've looked in past lessons. We had wayside where the seed was sown. This is wayside soil. We have rocky soil. We have thorny ground. Or we're talking about soil or ground. We're talking about the wayside ground, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. So there's four types of ground. But in this here, it says it was sown and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The New Living Translation says stepped on, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, this word trodden down, you might say, well, you know, we may think what we know what that means. But the word trodden down in the Greek actually means to trample down, to reject with disdain, to tread down. And so when we talk about something that's being disdained, we're talking about something that's scorned or contempted or something regarded as inferior. So you could see here something that might be a synonym of disdain is it's been disrespected. It's looked down on. It's snubbed. And so this is why when we look at the scripture in verse 11 of Luke 8 and 12, you can see how when something is trodden on or disrespected, this is why the devil can come and take the word that was sown in someone's heart. Here it says here, now the parable is this. Now again, the disciples and those that were with him said, you know, what does this parable mean? And he, Jesus, expounded on this. He said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so we can see here from verse 5, the reason the devil came and took the word sown in their hearts is because it was trodden on, it was stepped on, it was disrespected, or we could say it wasn't believed. It wasn't received. And so this is why when we talk about something, God's word being sown, God's word will produce if it's sown, received, and then what? Acted upon, watered. And so the ability to reproduce this in the seed is within itself. So the seeds of God's word has the ability within it to produce a harvest. Now something, when we talk about the process, the seed being planted, then first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, there's a process. And Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he made this comment. He said, why people don't get better results in their faith. He said the reason is because they reject the watering process. He meant when they hear the word of God the first time, they're excited and rejoice. That's the planting process. The second and third time, our minds want to say, I know that already. And so they reject the watering process or the repetition process. So there's planting, there's watering, and then there's increase. And so just in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So there's, we determine the harvest. We have to purpose in our heart to do what? Receive the seed that's sown, and we have to do what? Water it. We have to listen to it, meditate upon it. So seed is powerless unless what? Unless it's planted, and the seed must be watered, and this is necessary, just as necessary as the planting. So I want to look at Romans 10:17, a familiar scripture verse. And we know this, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, that Greek word is rhema. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing rhema, hearing the revealed or having the revealed word of God given to you. So we know from scripture and the Passion Translation, it kind of bears this out. It says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So the scripture here is saying that faith is birthed in the heart that responds to God's anointed utterance, meaning there's revelation, there's revealed word, and what happens? Faith comes. faith is birthed in the heart. So faith is the ability to conceive God's word. Faith is the ability to conceive God's word. It's spiritual conception. So the ability to conceive God's word is how? Developed by hearing the word of God. When you first hear the word of God, you don't necessarily receive the word of God. You may have been taught a certain doctrine, or you may have certain worldly attitudes about certain things, and you may not receive the word of God the first time. So when you heard it for the first time, it may take you a while to decide whether or not you're going to receive it. So you had to receive the seed of the word of God before faith came. You had to receive that. Faith had to come before conception of God's word in your spirit. You had to receive the seed of truth, or the word of God, which is what? The incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. But once the seed is conceived in your spirit, the process, it will eventually manifest itself in you. What are we talking about? It'll manifest itself in what? Salvation, healing, prosperity, love, joy, faith. And so these things will begin to do what? Manifest in you. And so here, what did Jesus say? Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth little." He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they what? They are life." So Jesus transmitted, or he conveyed, or he released the spirit of faith and life that was in him. How? Through the words that he spoke. And we can see here, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free from the law of sin and death." So God's word is the seed. This is what we were talking about. Let's look at, I want him to put up 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, because it talks about the word of God also being seed. But this particular scripture, the King James and the New Living, show us that the seed, it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Why? "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, in the New Living Translation, it's a little expanded or a little clearer. It says here that those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. And this word seed in the Greek is sperma. It just means, it means something sown, what's sown? The seed. So God injected his own seed into you the day your life, you gave your life to Christ. So his seed remains in us. And what? That seed needs to be nurtured. It needs to be watered. And it needs to be guarded. As we say, guarded. Our hearts need to guard the word of the seed that's in our heart. So faith, as we saw here, in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the rhema word of God. This when we talk about rhema, we're talking about the inspired, quickened, or revealed word from God by his spirit. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word, or rhema, or we could say another word, revelation from the word of God. So revelation knowledge, or we could say the Bible, is progressive revelation. We can grow in knowledge or increase in the knowledge of God. We can grow in revelation knowledge. So since we can increase in revelation knowledge, and faith comes by revelation knowledge, so if we can increase in revelation knowledge, we can increase in our faith. Now, before you just turn that statement off, I'm going to expand on that a little bit. Faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, or we could say another word, faith is also translated the word assurance or confidence. So if faith comes by the inspired word of God or the revealed word of God, and we can increase in revelation knowledge, then we can increase in our faith, or we could say we could increase in our confidence and assurance in God, in his word, in his promises. So my assurance, my confidence can increase. And we know that's so. So revelation knowledge, once that comes, it'll change your thinking. It'll change your voice. It'll change your speech. And so God's, and this is one of the things we see from Scripture. Did revelation knowledge change David's voice when he spoke to Goliath? Of course it did. So faith caused him, his voice, to speak a different way, to think a different way. And so the same thing, faith or revealed knowledge, or we could say confidence or assurance, when that came, did it change Caleb's and Joshua's voice? Absolutely. And so this assurance, or we could say faith, this assurance and confidence comes from revelation knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or we could say revelation knowledge. So revelation knowledge is the substance of faith. So we can grow from faith to faith. And Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, let's, for just sake here, let's take a look at Hebrews 11:1. And I want us to look at this in the Amplified, because it amplifies it. And this will help us a little bit, I believe. And just stay connected, because we're going somewhere with this, with unfolding the Word of God here. But Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified, of course, we know what King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But the Amplified, it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hoped for, being the what? The proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact," wow, "what is not revealed to the senses." So faith is there doing what? It says faith perceiving as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. So faith is another word for faith, we could say, is translated persuasion or moral conviction or assurance or belief. So this word, when we talk about faith, we're talking about my assurance in what? Or persuasion or moral conviction of what I believe. So can that increase or expand because of revelation knowledge? Absolutely. And so faith comes through revelation of his word. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing the word of God. So since the source of faith is what? The Word of God, or the revealed Word of God, or we could say revelation knowledge, this is where faith comes from. And if we can increase in revelation knowledge, then we can increase in our confidence and assurance, and it can become stronger than it is now. Glory to God. And so one of the things that we know is that, and let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 17 and then verse 26. We can become, you know, faith can come, but then it has to be what? There has to be an action. There has to be a corresponding action. So just what we were sharing, the sower sows the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And so when the seed is sown, and when there's a revelation or a revealing of that word that's received, faith comes. And this is why when it's received, we see that from the parable of the sower, when it's received and watered and nurtured, then first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and then harvest. And so there has to be an action. James 2, verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works or a corresponding action or an action, is what? Dead, being alone. And then verse 26 of that same chapter, the last verse in that chapter, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there has to be, when faith comes, there must be a corresponding action. We're not talking about how you feel. We're talking about how something has been revealed in your heart, and you know it's the truth. You see it. There has to be an action. And so we can become what we were saying. When faith comes, there can be And a revelation or an understanding of God's word, I can become persuaded. What do we say? My persuasion or my confidence can grow or increase. I can become persuaded to a greater measure through revelation or meditating upon the word of God. And let's take a look at, I want to look at Romans chapter 8. Because this scripture came to mind when we're talking about being fully persuaded or being persuaded in the Word of God, how through revelation of the Word of God. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ, or the agape love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And verse 36, it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors through him, through Christ that loved us. So Paul talks about situations we go through, but then he says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then what does verse 38 say? It goes on, for I am what? Persuaded. This is faith talking right here. This is faith through revelation of the Word of God. And we know Paul had revelation. And so this is saying here that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor what, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we see here that Paul said, I am persuaded. That's faith speaking right there. That's a conviction. That's an assurance. How did that come? Through revelation of the Word of God. And now let's also look at another scripture here that talks about this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 through 23, talking about being persuaded, being fully assured of something. So, and the reason we're sharing this is that through revelation, through continued revelation of the Word of God, we can increase and become fully assured. We can have a greater measure of assurance or confidence. How? Through continual feeding of the Word of God, the entrance of His Word bringeth light, it bringeth revelation, it bringeth assurance and confidence in a greater measure. But verse 19, it says in Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us do what? Draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of what? Full assurance, excuse me. Not full assurance in your own ability, full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. And so having our hearts sprinkled from what? An evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the what? The profession, or you could say confession of our faith. With what? Without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. So we can have what? Full assurance of faith because our hearts have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So our hearts can have assurance, full assurance, and that can increase or expand in what? Or through revelation. I heard something this week. I was watching a Zoom recording, and it just brought me to mind here of something. And the Rhema Singers and Band were talking about their experience of working with Brother Hagin when he was alive as the singers, as the group. And they shared certain things about their experience and what Brother Hagin said. And he said, they shared something that I thought was insightful. And it's along this line. They asked him, you know, why he didn't want to sing the words to a particular song. And this is what he said. He said, since I have a higher revelation of the Word of God, why would I want to sing words to a song that have a lower revelation that I've received? And I thought, that's very insightful. Because as we grow in our revelation of the Word of God, we may have sung some songs that we realize were full of unbelief. And now we have a greater revelation of the Word of God. I'm not going to sing those lyrics anymore. And I thought, that's insightful. And as we grow in faith, there may be some things grow in our confidence and assurance and grow in revelation knowledge of the Word of God, we may stop doing some things that we thought was okay to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll tell us, don't say that anymore. Don't do that anymore. Don't act that way anymore. That's because you cannot continue to act and do the things that you do as you receive more revelation in the Word of God. So through revelation, our faith, our assurance and confidence in God can increase and grow, and it should. Let's look. I just want to look at here Hebrews 10:35 in the New Living Translation. Hebrews 10:35. And it says in the same chapter that we were reading in Hebrews 10, but this says, so do not throw away, we believe Paul writing this, but it says, believe the writer of Hebrews, but it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. So this is what he's saying. Don't throw away your confident trust or your confidence, and the King James says, which hath great recompense of reward. So when faith comes, it comes, again, reminder, it comes from what? Revelation knowledge. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from that word is rhema. It comes from the revealed Word of God. So when assurance or this is one of the things that we're talking about, trying to connect this with heart and mouth connection. So when faith comes, it comes from revelation of the Word of God. When assurance, we're talking about when faith comes. When assurance or persuasion comes and is connected with our words, we release our words, creative power is released. So it is released when our heart and mouth are in agreement. That's why you must be careful about what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Words spoken in faith from our heart release faith or spiritual power to create that which we say. So that's why when we talk about, you know, I remember there was a word by Brother Copeland that was given to Pastor Sarah years ago. This was in, I believe it was 2003. They were at a meeting, and Brother Copeland released this word, and I'll just, you know, highlight it. But he said, I'm increasing, this was, and I'm just paraphrasing or just sharing a little bit of what it said. He said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. He said, be very careful what you say. He said, even in jest, be careful what you say. So revelation can increase through the Word of God, and because of that, the anointing increases. And what also increases? Your faith increases. Your confidence increases. Your persuasion or your assurance increases. And because of that, we need to be careful, because when our heart, which may expand in faith and confidence, when that grows or expands and we release words with that and are in agreement, creative power is released. And so that's why we need to be conscious of that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So now let's just, in kind of wrapping this up, I want to take a look at this here. When we talk about revelation knowledge, can we pray for an increase of revelation knowledge? So we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 17. This is Paul praying and looking at praying for the church at Ephesus, but this is a prayer we can pray for ourselves, because right at the beginning of that chapter, in verse 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it goes on, and it says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And it goes on, and it talks, up in verse 1, this is for us. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So that's us. And so when we look at verse 17, and he's praying this particular prayer for the church at Ephesus, we can pray that prayer for ourselves. And what is that prayer? It says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do what? Give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And it goes on and it says, "The eyes of your" what? "Your understanding being enlightened." He's talking about the eyes of your heart, your spirit man, being enlightened, "that you may" what? "Know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power." That word there is dunamis power, the miracle working power. "That we would know that" to who? "To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he" did what? "He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." What does it say? "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put" what? "All things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things" to who? "The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Why did I read that? Because we can pray and ask God daily for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that revelation knowledge is what causes faith to come. Faith comes because I see something revealed in the Word of God. So if we can expand in our in revelation knowledge, then we can expand and increase in what? Our faith, or we could say our confidence or assurance. It's the substance, the ground, as it calls it, the something that supports under. It's the ground on which what? My hopes or my expectations rest on. So we thank God. So revelation will change our hearts and our minds and what? Our speech. And what is 1 John 5? It says in verse 14, 15, it says, "This is the confidence that we have." This is faith talking now. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," he does what? "He heareth us." And it goes on, it says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him." So we can increase. We can increase in revelation knowledge and become fully assured or persuaded that what we are speaking from our hearts, we have. Hallelujah. And we know just from Romans, I'll read this. It says here, and Abraham In verse 21 in chapter 4, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, talking about God, he was able also to perform. So we can become fully persuaded, fully assured. How? Through revelation knowledge. And it will do what? It'll affect our faith or our confidence. So I encourage you today, take the word of God, get it into your heart, plant it, water it. Don't reject the watering process. Listen to it, feed upon it, speak it, and get that down in your heart. And then when faith comes, when revelation comes, you begin to see something. You have what we call an aha moment. You do what? You act upon that. And so this is what we're talking about, that we can increase in revelation knowledge. Pray that Ephesians prayer every day. Pray it every day. Give yourself starts. Just do it for 1 month. Speak, start, do it for 1 month. Continue. Do it for at least 4 or 5 months. It'll change your life. And so this is our prayer, that we would increase, that we would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For what purpose? That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We would know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us? And what is, we would begin to know what is what? The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. And so this is what God is looking for, that we begin to expand and grow in this particular area, in our revelation of the word of God, because it will ultimately affect what? Our heart, and it'll affect our minds, it'll affect our speech. And when those things come together, creative power will happen. And we'll be able to do what? Change the things. You know, sometimes people say, well, I've been saying this for so long that, you know, I don't see anything happen. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're confessing nothing's happening. But you've got to say, I believe that the words that I'm speaking are changing this situation. I believe that my words connected with my heart is changing what I'm speaking. What did we say in Mark 11, 23? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and so what? And shall believe that those things, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that the things that he's saying shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we had said before, just because you say it doesn't mean, just because you speak to an obstacle or a condition doesn't mean it's going to change. That's part of the process. Just because a farmer plants a seed doesn't mean he'll get a harvest. But planting the seed is part of the process. But you've got to speak and do what? Doubt not and believe that the things that you say shall come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. Praise God. Glory to God. I believe we're growing in this area. I am growing in this area where we're talking about revelation. I'm seeing things differently in the Word of God. Every time I meditate on it, God, by His Spirit, reveals something to my heart. And so I trust and believe that that's happening in your life also. Praise God. And before we close today, I would just present or provide an opportunity for those who may be watching. You might be watching for the first time. Maybe this is all new to you, and maybe you don't even believe it. I don't know where your heart is. But if you desire to receive Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the scripture says that if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that we believe that he was raised from the dead, and we believe that and confess that with our mouth, that we shall be born again, we shall be saved. And so let's just take that opportunity. Jesus came in Romans chapter 8. It says, God sending his son. In verse 3, chapter 8, it says, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So Jesus came for the purpose here to carry. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came to bear our sins and our sicknesses. And we have to believe that, and that he was also raised from the dead. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it said, he was justified and that he was raised. And so for what? Our justification. So he was raised when sin was paid for and sickness was paid for. So let's make this profession of faith, if you believe that. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth to die for my sins. And I believe he took my sins and my sicknesses. He bore them, took them to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for, he was released from hell and raised from the dead. And I was raised with him. I receive him now into my heart as my Savior. And I believe that he has cleansed me with his blood. And the power of God has been released in me to change my heart. I am now a brand new creation in Christ. And I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I believe that I am saved. If you made that affirmation of faith, then that just means that you're saved. You're born again. And so you are a brand new creature, brand new creation, a new kind of being. Your heart's been changed. So let us know. If you did that, you can email us to, you can contact us and let us know. You can email us at rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org. That's by mail, by email or mail. Just write us RLCC, and that information is on the screen, or you can call us at 845-623-9300, and just let us know. I prayed the prayer accepting Jesus into my heart, and let us know how we can send you some free information, and we'll do that. Praise God.